Well, I'll tell you this morning, Christmas Eve Sunday, can I just be honest with you, it's one of the hardest messages to preach. Not because it's not a great story, it's not because I lack the energy, it's because you guys lack the energy. You're exhausted. We're right here on the 24th, and it's just like, oh, we got so much to do. I've got cooking yet to do. I've got wrapping yet to do. But by a show of hands, how many of you still have got to wrap at least one present? Let me see your hands. Yeah, I kind of feel that. How many of you still need a little bit more cooking time before everyone comes in this afternoon or this evening? Absolutely. How many of you men or even women need to put something together before Christmas morning? Let me see your hand. Yeah. And because of that, now you understand why this message is kind of the hardest message to preach, because you guys are kind of tired. So what I'm going to have you guys do is I'm going to have you be part of the message this morning. I promise that I will keep this thing moving this morning if you keep this thing moving. So this morning, as we are looking at Unplugged Christmas, what I want you to do, and I don't do this, I don't think I've ever done it here, so this is the first for you guys, but please work with me. You can hate it, you can love it, but love me even if you hate it. Love me. I love you guys. But I'm going to ask you to get into groups of four or five people, and what I want you guys to do is to discuss two questions. What's your favorite Christmas memory? And of the Christmas story, who stands out to be the best? Can't use Jesus. Jesus does not count. You can't use, of course he's the best. Jesus is the best, but you can't use him. But in the Christmas story, in the narrative, who is the best person that you relate to, or the best scene in the Christmas story that you best relate to? So go ahead. I give you permission. You guys can hoop it up, talk it up. Four or five people in a group. Favorite Christmas memory. Who's your favorite person in the Christmas story besides Jesus? So this morning, the reason why I wanted you to do that exercise is I think so many times in the Christmas story, we can almost make it such a narrative that we forget that these are real people, real life situations, and real drama being lived out some 2,000 years ago. Christ coming to earth was really a dramatic story, and if you were in the throes of the story, you would feel it even more so than we are 2,000 years later, because these are real people going through real life situations. And this morning, as we are kind of getting ready for Christmas Day, what I want us to look at is I want us to look at someone that probably none of you said and who your favorite person is. I want us to look at the innkeeper, because you're like, well, the innkeeper, is he that important? He really is important to the story, even though very little biblical reference is made of him. We do see the account of him showing up in Luke. See, Luke was a doctor. Luke was a detailed person. And so he wanted to make sure that in the story of Christmas, that somehow the inn and the innkeeper was put in there. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7 this morning. And what I want us to look at is the importance of making room for Jesus in the 21st century. We've got to make room for Jesus in the 21st century, just as there needed to be room for Jesus some 2,000 years ago. And it says here in verse 1, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken to the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, in the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Of all the gospel writers, it is Luke that shows up and talks about this guest room that was unavailable for Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus. He was a detailed doctor. He was one that wanted to get the story accurate as much as he could, and so he wanted to make sure that there was something in the story of Christ coming to earth that had a side margin to it, and that was there was an innkeeper who had an inn but had no room for the Son of God. The setting of this glorious night was marked with plenty of chaos and confusion within that little sleepy town of Bethlehem. Never before, up until now, was it required that people would have to go back to their hometown to register for a census. It was during this time of Christ coming to earth that this was the first census ever taken. And not only did they have to go back to their region, back to their town, but along with that, they had to bring money with them. They had to pay taxes while they were being counted. They were already also having to bring along some money to pay their taxes. So kind of throw yourself into that story right now. You're required by law. You must leave where you live, and you must go back to where you started life at. And not only did you have to go back to where you started life at, you had to bring money with you because you had to pay taxes. So there was a lot of chaos, there was a lot of stress, there was a lot of fatigue going on in that little sleepy town of Bethlehem. And some of you can relate to the fatigue and frustration because you're sitting here on Christmas Eve and not everything is done with for you yet. And so, yeah, you're maybe not paying in taxes, but you still got gifts to wrap. You still got food to cook. You've got things to put together before Christmas morning. And you sit here fatigued and frustrated because you're not ready for Christmas. But I will tell you, on that particular night, there was a lot of chaos, there was a lot of stress, there was a lot of fatigue because people didn't necessarily want to go. They were being ordered by the governor to go and do the very act of the census as well as pay their taxes. So these people traveling into Bethlehem were not very friendly, very happy people. It wasn't like they were coming home for Christmas. They were coming home to pay taxes. So I'm sure there was a lot of angry people. I'm sure there was a whole lot of people that were less than enthused by showing up in this small little village. It was believed that Mary and Joseph's journey would have been about 80 miles or about 4-day walk. I'll tell you, I love to travel. You get to know me better, you'll see that I love to travel. But one thing I would not want to do, I would not want to walk 80 miles to go and pay taxes. Can you imagine being ordered to walk, to go back to your town, up to 80 miles? Some even traveled up to a week, they said, to get into Bethlehem to pay their taxes. And so they were exhausted, they were fatigued, and they were just kind of a little upset with the government at this point because they had to do something that they did not want to do. So here in this little sleepy town of Bethlehem, Mary and Joseph, after a 4-day journey, traveling 80 miles from Nazareth into Bethlehem, made their way to find out that there was no more space available for them. You see, the innkeeper really does matter in this story because I think the innkeeper is kind of what is happening in our 21st century. There was some room, but no room at the same time. By that I mean the innkeeper made accommodations for the Son of God by saying, outside my inn there is a barn, and in that barn is where you can lay your head. I think it's many times in our lives, if we are not careful, we can put Jesus just outside our inn or just outside our lives, so to speak. All the while, he doesn't want to live outside in our barns. He wants to live in our inn. I think many times when we read the story about the innkeeper, I think sometimes we think of the Holiday Inn where there's anywhere between 75 and 200 rooms available. And you think, wow, I know everyone was coming into town, but really they couldn't find them a room? Well, the inn that I speak of this morning is an inn that probably only had one or two rooms available. Again, Bethlehem only had a population of 1,000 people. So there would not be this big boom of tourism in that small little town. And so for an innkeeper to have a room to rent out, it was probably one or two rooms. It's kind of like a bed and breakfast. And hear me right. If you owned an inn and you saw a 9-month pregnant woman needing a room, would you really open your inn? Would you really know, oh, great, she's getting ready to bust? Even if you've never had a child before, you know what comes with it. A lot of screaming and a whole lot of mess. This innkeeper did not know Mary and Joseph. He did not know them. And so would you want to be even bothered with such a mess? Yeah, you might have empathy for this poor young couple, but really to let them into your room. In fact, to say one of your guests, hey, I've got a 9-month pregnant woman. will you leave my inn? I can give you a barn, but I want her to be in this inn. I want her to be in the home because she's getting ready to give birth. I probably not. As much as we like to think that this innkeeper had a heart, you look at the scenario. 9-month pregnant woman needing a place to stay was not going to be a silent night. And so what happens here is we see the innkeeper saying, there's no room. But I have something outside for you. I have something out. I have a stable. I have a place that at least maybe with a little bit of straw and a little bit of hay, we can maybe get some things set up for you and your husband so that you can give birth to your child. And with that backdrop of the story, with only several hours before Christmas morning, what I want us to look at this morning is a question. Do we have room for Jesus? Do we have room for Jesus in our lives? You see, upon Mary and Joseph coming to the innkeeper said there was no room for them. But just outside of my inn, I've got space for you. And when I think about that, I think to myself, how many of us in the 21st century have room for Jesus, but it's not in the inn, but it's in the barn next to it? By that I mean we've got room for Jesus outside of our lives. We want Jesus close, but we don't necessarily want Jesus in our lives. You see, Christ followers are ones that understand that because Christ has come into our lives and he's forgiven us of our sins, he lives within our heart, he lives within ourselves, and there's room for him. But I think in our 21st century, if we are not careful, we can, like the innkeeper, do the very same thing. Oh, yes, Jesus, I have room for you outside my life, outside my chaos, outside my busy schedule, outside my secret sin and even my public sin. Yes, Jesus, I want you close to me, but I don't want you in me. I think nowadays in the 21st century church, we have a whole lot of people that want to have a part of Jesus, but not the whole Jesus. They want a piece of this comforter, a piece of this one that is going to change us from the inside out, but not so much so that we're going to let him come in and really be all that he needs to be, and that's the Lord of our lives. You know, I love what we've done this last Christmas season. I love that we gathered gifts and we collected gifts and we bought gifts for homeless children. And I love that, last night we were 18 of us strong at Youth Haven Ranch feeding children that just needed a little bit of Christ's love given to them. But could you imagine the gifts that we collected this Christmas, the food that we served last night as a team? Could you imagine if we said, here's your presents, they're all wrapped and ready for you, but you can't open them. Or here's your dinner, it's set before you, but you can't eat it. It wouldn't seem much of a gift. It wouldn't seem much of a blessing. In fact, it would be almost torture. And yet we've got people all over our world, all over our county, all over our cities, and even maybe in our families, they've been given the opportunity to open the greatest gift the world would ever know, and that's open their lives up to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and all they simply do is look at it and like that it's close, but not want it for themselves personally. You see, the innkeeper said, there's no room, but I'll give you a stable. But I wonder how many of us this morning would say, I kind of can relate to the innkeeper because I've done that in my own life. I've said, Lord, there's no room for you in my life, but I want you close. When life gets really hard, when I need to call out on your name, that's when I want you close. But until then, I'm just going to do my own thing. I'm going to kind of just stay close to you, but not too close to you. I think it's interesting. The Apostle Paul talks to his young Timothy friend, Timothy, who is a young pastor. And he says in 2 Timothy, he says, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And then Timothy is hearing these words from Paul. And then he makes a statement, have nothing to do with these types of people. And I look at this and I think, okay, but Paul, these people have got a form of godliness. They've got a form of wanting to connect to a living God. But then you say you have nothing to do with them. Well, the Apostle Paul was speaking into the life of young Timothy, the pastor, and his church and saying, it's not enough just to have Jesus close to you. You have to have Jesus in you. It's the life change that Jesus brings to our lives that make us different, not just having Jesus around us. So the question I have for us this morning on Christmas Eve of 2017, do you have room for Jesus? Do you have room for the Son of God to live in your life? To change your life from the inside out? To make you never the same because you are no longer yourself, but you are a child of the Most High God? And I'll tell you, if the answer is no, I don't have that personal relationship. I don't have that connection. I know who Jesus is, but Jesus is really not living in me like you spoke of this morning. Today would be the day that you could simply open up that greatest gift ever given to us and receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. So would you stand with me this morning? I want to pray over us, but not only do I want to pray over us, I want to pray for you. I don't want to be the innkeeper that says, here's the stable, when Jesus wants to live in the inn. So God, I pray for us this morning. God, we've heard the Christmas story over and over again. Yes, we know that Jesus died for our sins, and if we just confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, I thank you for all that stuff, but sometimes, God, we get lost in the maze of religion, and we just need to get back to a relationship with you. So, God, would you just speak to our hearts? Would you just remind us that you have a plan for our lives? Would you remind us, God, that you died for us through your Son Jesus so that we might live eternally. So on this Christmas Eve, before we go and do all the celebrations, God, would you just speak to our hearts? And if we've not let you be the Lord of our lives, God, we just invite you to come on in and be the Lord of our life this Christmas time. God, we're just wanting more of you and less of us. God, we don't want to say there's only room for you in the stable. No, 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 God. There's room for you in the inn. So Jesus, come on in. Be my Lord and my Savior. Make me different because now you live in me. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.